SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When it's the dog days of summer, that means just one thing. Time to clock out, sit back, relax.
Shut up!
Yeah.
All right? How about that?
Sorry about that. It's time to lock in for another edition of Moneyline with the two best hosts on radio. Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Best hour of your day now officially underway. It's Moneyline in the Morning right here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission today. Yeah, we're going to get to some Major League Baseball. We'll have some fun with that. The hottest topics, as usual, we will get down on those as well. A doubleheader tonight in the NFL to start the final week of the preseason. This weekend, week zero in college football. So, yes, we are going to have some fun and hopefully make some money. Let's get to the money-making opportunities that I told you about yesterday first. How about 18 total runs, people? I told you, your night should start and finish in South Beach. That was the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Miami Marlins. You know I love the Diamondbacks yesterday because you know who was going to be on the mound? Roderick Munoz for those Miami Marlins. Munoz only lasted 3 1/3 innings pitched, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, which included a home run. Now, I had to sweat a little bit in this game. I didn't like that. We didn't cross over the team total threshold until the 7th inning when the Arizona Diamondbacks plated a few runs. To be exact, it was 4. Then they scored again in the 8th. Then they scored again in the 9th. They scored 10 runs last night, but also told you that the Marlins offense and Mr. Burger Boy out there, Jake Burger, hit another home run yesterday. They scored 8 runs. So 18 total runs yesterday on South Beach. Montgomery was on the mound, not a great pitcher. Gave up 10 hits and 6 earned runs and 2 home runs. His ERA now sits at a 6.44. And for Munoz, he is now just short of an ERA of 6 now himself. That was beautiful. It worked out well. If there was one, I guess, caveat that you could say that did not work out in my favor in that game, that's my guy Jock Peterson not getting an RBI when they scored 10 times yesterday. That was the only downfall. But everything else hit like a pinball machine in that game. It was fun to watch and certainly even more fun to bet at that point. So hopefully we can find some more gems today. But having said that, the pitching matchups aren't as glaring as they were yesterday. But that doesn't mean we can't get down and have some fun and get the business there. So we'll cover that Major League Baseball card today, which does include, if we're looking just at the times, a 1 o'clock game, a 2 o'clock game, and I think we have more there. Excuse me, 2 1 o'clock games, 2 2 o'clock games, and a 3 o'clock game. Then we have 6:40, 7:07, 7:08, 7:08, and 9:40 to end the rest of the day. Some good spots here, some great spots. That might be just a little bit of a technicality, but let's get to some of the hot topics in the sports landscape, which fills into yesterday. You guys know me, right? Cheat, cheat, cheat again. That's what we tell you in professional sports. You can get away with it most of the time. If you do get caught, the risk versus reward, way more on the reward than the risk here. And we're going back to college football, who we've railed on the Michigan Wolverines in the past. We're past them at this point. We'll see if they get any other, I don't know, inquiries per se from the NCAA, but they're waiting for even more penalties here. But you know what I want to talk about today? It's the Iowa Hawkeyes. I thought they were perfect in everything they did, right? By the book, Kurt Ferentz, old school here. Well, Kirk Ferentz and assistant John Budmeier will be suspended 1 game for a violation related to the recruitment of transfer quarterback Cade McNamara, sources tell ESPN as I'm reading their article. How about that? But understand this. Smart move by Kirk Ferentz. Smart move by assistant John Budmeier. You need a quarterback in college football if you want to keep your job. You need a quarterback in college football if you feel like you need that to get your 8 to 9 wins at Iowa and get to a bowl game and border on being a top 25 program. So if you tell me, as a coach that's making good money in college football, and I want to keep my job making good money here, yeah, I'm going to do it. And the risk is so good here. Because if you do get caught, you get a one-game suspension. But you know when they suspend you? Not if you're playing home against Ohio State or USC coming into the Big Ten this year or UCLA or Penn State, whoever it might be. You are suspended for game number one that is against Illinois State that you should wipe the floor with. Then your coach comes back. What? Absolutely. Like in the past, these issues were fireable offenses for coaches. Now they're just taking a look and saying like, okay, if I get caught here, at least I got my quarterback. They're not going to take him away, but I won't have to coach in a game, or they're not going to let me coach, I should say, in a game against a super inferior opponent. That's what took place yesterday. So getting back to the whole joke that I sort of make a mockery of this, and we even had this as a fade the public poll yesterday, does it basically pay to cheat? It absolutely does in every landscape of life here. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And if you trying, that means you're cheating. So I don't have any use of you coming like, hey, man, cheaters in Iowa. No, this is what you're supposed to do. If the penalty is only missing one game, but you got yourself a quarterback and you're going to be able to keep your job, do it every single time. It just makes sense here. Risk versus reward. Take that risk every time because the reward is going to be so much more than the risk that you took and the penalty that you would have paid here. So there you go. Iowa gets their quarterback, misses a meaningless game, and away you move into the future here. Also, other topics here across the NFL. How about this? Bo Nix, he is your official starter out there in Denver, and rightfully so. I mean, come on now. Did we expect anything different? We saw that stupid, you know, depth chart that came out initially that said Bo Nix is behind both Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham. Stop it. Bo Nix was always going to be the better quarterback. It's atypical that you would draft a quarterback as a top 15 pick in round number one and have a team that isn't very good where he's not going to be that starter. And also, as I always use the Green Bay analogy, it's not as if you had Brett Favre when they drafted Aaron Rodgers. Tough to beat out a Hall of Fame quarterback here. Aaron Rodgers, after a couple of years, took the helm for the Green Bay Packers, worked out in spades for them. Should they have won more Super Bowls? Yes, but they did get one and a lot of success under Rodgers. Fast forward to Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. You draft Jordan Love. You still have a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. You let Jordan Love sit, and it looks like that's probably going to work out in their favor. You didn't have that for the Denver Broncos. You didn't have that at all. Can you imagine if Jared Stidham started game number one because they said Bo Nix wasn't ready? The Bronco fans would revolt at that point, especially what we're actually watching on the football field. It's clear Bo Nix is head and shoulders above Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson. Let the kid go. Let the kid start from day number one, and that's exactly what we're getting here. Point number two, which we'll set up here. Talked about on the early line, both myself and Ben, the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback situation. Minus 520 price here for Russell Wilson to be the starting quarterback week one for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I said, I believe it, because Mike Tomlin has led me down that direction each and every time who that starting quarterback is going to be. No matter what you saw from Justin Fields in preseason camp, no matter what you saw out of an injured Russell Wilson who missed a lot of time during camp, no matter what you saw in that previous preseason game where Russell Wilson went out there and couldn't move the football to save his life, they are still telling you Russell Wilson is going to be the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I have no choice but to just believe that, to be honest. And I think Russell Wilson will be out there week number one, whether or not he's playing well. And also, he's got a game this weekend, which I do expect Russell Wilson to play in game number three of the preseason, which sounds ludicrous. But look at that line on Saturday. Pittsburgh and Detroit. 3-point opening line at the FanDuel Sportsbook. That has now spiked up to a 6.5 because we still have a quarterback competition, if you will, in Pittsburgh. Coming down to it, there's only one team. I mean, the Patriots? When are you going to wake up and pick your starting quarterback this year? Drake May? Jacoby Brissett? Quite frankly, it ain't going to matter, New England. You're going to be a bad football team either way. It's Moneyline in the Morning, right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey now. Yeah, solo mission here in the morning, carrying you right through up here 12 noon Eastern and the rest of your sports grid day. But we got some hot topics to hit that will continue to roll through. And some of those hot topics include NFL week number 3 in the preseason, the final week before we get ready for action, people. I believe, I want to say September 3rd, I think is opening day. Hold on, let me see here. Let's go through. This is the 5th, it looks like. I think this is September 5th, 2024. I thought I thought of something different. So let me see. The 2nd, 3rd, I guess. JP, is it the 5th? Do me a little background check over there. Is it September? What's opening day? Is it? Because I'm showing September 5th, but I thought I saw something that said different. Is that Thursday night, Baltimore-Kansas City game, September 5th? Just do a double check for me that I'm not going crazy at this point. And I'm showing the 6th as the Green Bay-Philadelphia Eagles game. But we got a long way to go before we get to September 5th here, which is what it's listing here on my odds docket, 451, 452. So we'll go with that, September 5th. We got a long way to go. It's 8:22 right now. So let's just call it 2 weeks from today, we are going to have live football on our TV. September 5th. There we go. So JP approved that there. So, all right, September 5th. So roughly 2 weeks exactly from today, Baltimore and Kansas City are going to tee it up. -3 point favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook. 2.5s at some other outlets. 3s at BetMGM. You get the point. We're roughly around a field goal there. And that's going to be exciting times. But there's still some interesting options in the preseason if you like to wager. I'm not necessarily a huge handicapper of preseason football, but sometimes you take a look at some of this odds movement and say, there must be a reason for that. And a lot of people just looking at the preseason, and rightfully so. If you give me a line close to 6.5, which there is a game tonight that has that number, a lot of people are just going to take the underdog price. Can I argue with you? Not necessarily, because we don't know exactly what each team is going to do. But if you look at the Indianapolis Colts and the Cincinnati Bengals tonight, total opened up at 36.5. That has now dropped across the board to 34.5. Even some 34s out there. Very low numbers. Even lower, by the way, in game number 2 we'll take a look at in just a few seconds. But if we are looking at the odds, they opened up as a favorite towards the Indianapolis Colts at a -2.5 price. That has now ricocheted up to 6.5 as a favorite for the Colts. Reason being, as Shane Steichen, head coach of the Colts, said, you know what? Our starters might get as much as 1.5 quarters, which means Anthony Richardson, starting quarterback, is going to get some time. I read that as my quarterback's not actually going to play 1.5 quarters unless we don't go on a scoring drive. So basically what Shane Steichen is telling me is that Anthony Richardson and the ones will be in there until they have a scoring drive. If it's drive number 1, great. Drive number 2, drive number 3, whatever it is, they're going to stay out there. And once they do score, they're probably going to come off the field, unless it's an opening drive, 4 plays, 22 yards because they got a turnover and they kick a field goal. He's probably going to come out for at least another drive after. But you get the point. He's not probably going to play the entire first half. I doubt he even plays into the second quarter. But if we are factoring in backup quarterback situation, it's Joe Flacco for the Colts. Guy's been around the block. If they don't go to him, it's Sam Ellinger that's going to be behind him. And Keaton Slovis and Jason Bean, guys that might be able to do a little bit of damage here in the preseason. And if we're looking from a Cincinnati perspective, you know you're not getting Joe Burrow. And Jake Browning does have an injury designation coming into tonight. So maybe it's just going to be the Logan Woodside, shout out Toledo, and Rocky Lombardi, shout out Michigan State, as doing the battle here for the Cincinnati Bengals. So in my mind, again, the numbers are already gone. If you got 2.5, awesome. 3, great, fantastic. But the number is 6.5 tonight. I still do think Indianapolis is playing for more tonight than the Cincinnati Bengals overall, and I probably think they would cover. Does that mean Donnie Wrightside is going right to the sports book today and betting that? No, it doesn't. I'm just giving my thoughts and opinions on so many times you're just lining up these preseason games based on what you figure you're getting out of those backup quarterbacks. Game number 2 tonight, 107-108 on the rotation. That's the Chicago Bears, who actually are playing their 4th preseason game tonight. Why? Because they played in the Hall of Fame game, which was the opener to the preseason. effective like a week zero that we're getting this weekend in college football. Now, this game's going to be played at 8:20 tonight. Lines opened up for the Bears, at FanDuel, at least here in New Jersey, at a minus 2.5 price point. Across the board, that has dropped now. It's 1.5 at FanDuel, 1 at DraftKings, 1.5 at BetMGM. Now, if we are looking for a betting perspective or an angle in this game, you know with Kansas City, we're probably not seeing Patrick Mahomes tonight. Quite frankly, Carson Wentz, I don't know how much he has to prove, but you probably would like to play him. So you're looking at Carson Wentz, Chris Olatakun, and Ian Book as those guys that will be backing up tonight. But also, from a Chicago Bears perspective, just going over the depth chart at quarterback, we're not going to see Caleb Williams tonight, that's for sure. But Tyson Bagent, the backup quarterback who has played in the NFL and got some NFL snaps under his belt, he should be in there tonight. Brett Rippon, Austin Reed as well. Rippon's been around the block in the NFL as a backup quarterback. Same thing as Bagent here. Maybe that's the angle you're taking. And I talked to Ben this morning, because if anybody's out there watching Hard Knocks on HBO, I don't really get that much out of it. If it's on, I'll watch it from time to time. I don't think I'm going to sit down for an entire one-hour episode of it. But the part I did catch, which let us know how big it is for these quarterbacks, particularly the backups, who know they're probably not going to see the field at all this year unless there is a disaster injury scenario. So looking at the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams, Tyson Bagent's probably never going to see the field. And the reason I bring that up is they were showing him on the sideline with backup quarterback Austin Reed, and they were talking about if they could spot their family members in the stands. So they're saying, well, how many comp tickets do you get? It's usually two per player. So I guess Austin Reed was looking up to see whoever he gave his tickets to. And Tyson Bagent made a point to say, I have 81 family members here tonight. And Austin Reed said, wow, that's crazy. It's like, yeah, I needed 81 tickets today, and they were $100 a pop. So Tyson Bagent spent $8,100 of salary on that football game so his family could come. Why? Because he's not expected to play this year in the NFL. And these are like Super Bowls for these backup quarterbacks. I finally get the spin, get my time in front of the fans, on TV. I'm the starter. I'm commanding the huddle because I don't expect to command any huddle for the rest of the season. So it sort of adds that extra layer of what some of these guys really want to show. And the joke was, if Carson Wentz is playing tonight, is he paying for 81 family members to come see him as a backup quarterback in Kansas City? Probably not. So maybe I'm laying favorites tonight. Thursday Night Football, Colts and Bears? Could it be? Oh my. Much more to go here on Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside right here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 149.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're always on Wide Receiver Watch here on the Sports Grid Network because there are some legitimate wide receivers that we don't know if they're showing up or showing up on time or getting paid or whatever for week number one. Just got an update, which is no update from the general manager, John Lynch, for the San Francisco 49ers on Brandon Ayuk's situation. They say they're getting close, but my goodness, I mean, how much closer do we have to get at this point? But if you are Brandon Ayuk, I remember, like, it's almost like a two-step process here, right? Nobody likes to go to camp. In high school, I hated it. In college, I hated it even more. Two-a-day, three-a-day practices, it's hot. You are exhausted after one practice and then say, okay, I got like a week and a half to 2 weeks still left of two and three practices a day. My legs are already giving out. I'm cramping up. I remember when I went to college the first time. This was back in 1996. And I was in a dorm that had, I think it was maybe on the third floor. You had to climb the stairs. I don't think the elevators were working just yet here before the actual students arrived on campus. And I remember one of those early practices going up the steps, and I barely could make it. Like, my legs were locked up on me, and I basically had to drag myself up. Just to point out, not that it's a hard camp, but nobody looks forward to going to football camp. The reason I bring up Brandon Ayuk as a wide receiver, all we did in football practice was run. I might as well have been running the New York Marathon on a day-to-day basis, practice-to-practice basis, because that's what we did. Now, hey, handoff. The running back goes, and like off left, he runs 10 yards. The offensive linemen take three steps either way, but I'm running 40 yards down the field to run off a cornerback every single play. Pain in the neck. So Brandon Ayuk might be thinking like, you know what? I know I'm ready. I've been keeping myself in shape. Now, granted, you're never going to stay in the same shape as you do when you're actually in practice. That's a fact. No question. But if I could have somehow said, you know what? Let me miss my entirety of my football camps throughout my college life because I'm renegotiating some NIL and I just popped in there the week before we played football games, that would have been fantastic. And that's what I think Ayuk is doing. Like, you know what? I don't want to be in camp. I don't want to practice. I'll hang out, but I'm not running miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. I'll do my work on the side and I'll be just fine here. Now, granted, as I said, usually doesn't work out in your favor. But that seems like the only thing. Like, he's not rushing back. Like, hey, you know what? I think we have a deal in place that I like, but there's a couple little things on the perimeter here of this contract that I don't like so much, and maybe you can change a decimal point here or two. And then you find out next week when you start getting ready for the game, Brandon Ayuk is in camp. Same thing with CeeDee Lamb. Happy, not happy, who knows? But CeeDee Lamb isn't even in camp with the Dallas Cowboys, and Ja'Marr Chase also having a sit-in himself, hoping that he does get paid. The reason I'm bringing this up is we pretty much know who's going to be there for week number one. But for me, I'm not really a futures guy. I know people that get down on some of these lines like the minute they come out like months ago. I don't do that because the last thing I want to do is bet a game between the Minnesota Vikings and the New York Giants and say, okay, Daniel Jones is going to be worth versus a rookie. I'll take Daniel Jones at home versus a rookie, and it turns out to be Sam Darnold. Now, whether or not that's going to be a good matchup or not, I would rather take a look at that game week and say, oh, if I save myself a point, who cares? I'd rather have the right side and win that football game overall. So if we are saying, you know, it's almost like a fresh look because I really haven't looked overall at week number one's odds outside of like opening night. We knew that was going to be a 3-point favorite. It's been that way for quite some time. Some 2.5s bouncing out there. Also, taking a look at opening week, which includes Friday night football from Brazil between Green Bay and Philadelphia. I've always known that line to be that 1, 1.5, and now that has actually risen to 2s and 2.5s. But opening day Sunday, which it's so hard, and I remember this too, because I'll be the first to tell you guys. Like, as a day-to-day handicapper, I'm pretty decent at that, right? As a futures bettor here, trying to win money long-term, now granted, sometimes you're taking long shots, 10-1, 12-1, 50-1, whatever it may be. Maybe you won't win those. But as I sit here and talk to myself and say, what makes more sense here? Because last year, we were doing our football show live from the Ocean's Resort to open up the season. We're asked to give best bets on a week-to-week basis. I did pretty good last year. Was very happy with it. As long as you're winning, like, maybe 2 out of every 3 games on your best bets, that's fun stuff here. And it seemed like that was the case during most of the season. But I remember game number one. I want to say it was the Giants and the Cowboys. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to get competency out of the New York Giants here. They got blasted in week number one. So that's, again, just a guess. Now, granted, do I watch preseason games? Did I try to get a vibe and a total on teams? Yes, I do. But also, you're measuring up teams with starters going up against backups, backups versus starters. You can't get that full picture. So let's go over some of these lines opening weekend next, just to get that fresh look and fresh appeal with some thoughts here that we're now 2 weeks out from the regular season in the NFL. Then we're going to hit some Major League Baseball and cash in some tickets. It's Donnie Wrightside right here on a Thursday on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Adam Schefter breaking some information here, and he writes, a rare in-division trade. Washington is sending former first-round pick Jahan Dotson and a fifth-round pick to the Eagles in exchange for a 2025 third-round pick and 2 seventh-round pick per sources. So the Eagles, a point of contention in camp has been, who's going to be that right guard starter here? It looks like it might be Mekhi Becton, but outside of that, you were looking at that wide receiver position that maybe it's Paris Campbell, maybe it's like, you know, some younger player that's going to step up, and I don't think that's really come to fruition. So the Philadelphia Eagles go and get Jahan Dotson. I think it's a good move for the Eagles because the options right now for that third wide receiver weren't very good, and I think that bolsters it. We'll see what he can do and learn that system before week number one, which, again, segues into week number one. Excited for it here. Baltimore, Kansas City. How are you guys handling this on opening night? Last year, Kansas City, again, won the Super Bowl. They were home. They actually lost opening night to the Detroit Lions. Now they're going to get another chance to go up against another team that we have a rematch of the AFC Championship where Baltimore got beat by Kansas City, and Baltimore basically embarrassed themselves with the game plan they had. Let's throw the football all over the place as opposed to just pound Kansas City. Didn't work out in their favor. Now, for me, I look at this line and I say to myself, it really is a Baltimore line to me. 2.5s and 3s across the board. You basically get 3 points for home field advantage. But for my money, how do I play into this game? Because I love the Baltimore Ravens in the regular season. I just do. I think they're a great ball club because Lamar Jackson is sensational. It's hard to sort of, you know, measure his talent on a week-to-week basis when defensive coordinators are worrying about the totality of their schedule. But coming into week number one, your full focus for that offseason a lot of the times is what? On opening night and who you're actually going to play on opening night, which is Lamar Jackson. Like, just simple thought process. I like Kansas City right now on opening night, even though I love the Baltimore Ravens in the regular season. Philadelphia and Green Bay, it feels like it is a true toss-up. If the game was in Philadelphia, I'd be confident the Eagles would win this game. But the fact that it's over there in Sao Paulo, Brazil, on a Friday night, who knows what the crowd advantage is going to be, if the playing surface is going to be great. We haven't saw a lot of the Philadelphia Eagles starters, particularly on offense at this time. So they're just going to be unveiled and unleashed on opening night against a quality component, quality opponent in the Packers. If I had to say the overall better pedigree, better talent, it probably lies with the Philadelphia Eagles, but there's a lot of question marks that the Eagles have to fill out, primarily with their offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. And I love the way that the Green Bay Packers ended last season, and you hated the way that the Philadelphia Eagles ended their season last year. Let's move forward to opening day. Because quite frankly, I haven't paid a lot of attention to these lines, to be honest. Like, week number one, we'll analyze, we'll have fun. But even when I ran my services, guys, we never started until week number three. I watched the preseason. I watched the first two games. Because as we know, the biggest overcorrections you're going to make in a football season about your thought process on a team, guys, is between weeks one and weeks two in the NFL. That's the same for high school football and college football. You're not as bad as you looked on opening day. You're not as good as you looked on opening day. And that second week will sort of set that barometer, and that's where a lot of quote-unquote upsets happen. Oh, I thought that team was much better than they were at that point. So, not necessarily the point here. All right, let's take a look at Jacksonville and Miami. Battle of Florida. And again, we're not going to go like in-depth on each one of these games. Just to pass through, and then we'll hit the Major League Baseball card after the break. Jacksonville, Miami. Miami is that slight favorite, 3.5. Like the vibes out of Miami. Jacksonville looking to, you know, for next year per se, being this as the year as opposed to we thought it was going to be last year, right? Maybe they come out of the gates here. Pittsburgh, we don't even know who the starting quarterback is going to be going up against Atlanta. Atlanta is a slight favorite there. I would give the lean to the Atlanta Falcons. Hopefully we get a healthy Kirk Cousins in that one. Minnesota and the New York Giants. That's Sam Darnold now as opposed to J.J. McCarthy who got injured. Now we take a look at them going against Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. I still think Sam Darnold is a better quarterback than Daniel Jones and probably will give a slight nudge to the road team here, who is a slight favorite. I do expect the Giants. That's what I'm looking for. Is it competent? Because if they're competent, they're probably going to win, what, 7 games, which means not embarrassing on a week-to-week basis. I don't expect big things out of Daniel Jones himself, but I do think the team will be okay. But I'm willing to go with a Minnesota team on the road who has the better player in that game in Justin Jefferson, has a solid offense, and I think Darnold can actually do some things there. Carolina and New Orleans, just what a stink bomb opening day to play. You're hoping on big things for Carolina in a bounce-back effort with Bryce Young as your quarterback. I get it, but also taking a look overall and saying, like, what are you getting out of New Orleans? Just a terrible game. New England and Cincinnati, as long as Joe Burrow is there week number one, they should explode on New England. I don't expect too many things from. Tennessee and Chicago, quick look there, 4.5-point favorite for the Bears opening day against Tennessee. That's a great landing spot, by the way, for the Chicago Bears opening day. At home against Will Levis, questionable quarterback at best. The rookie favored by 4.5 points in this game. Arizona and Buffalo, that game takes place in Buffalo. Buffalo, roughly a touchdown favorite across the board, 6.5s and 6s are the predominant number, total at 48.5. We probably expect some points, and I told you, the one team that you want to circle this year that you probably need to be involved with every game they play, and not necessarily even with a side, it's the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are going to be able to score points and give up points. That is a fantastic combination if you're betting anytime. Touchdown markets, prop bets, you understand the point here. That Arizona team, they're going to be giving you a lot of dollars that you're going to be able to spend around Christmas time. Houston and Indianapolis, this line just looks like it's drawing you in, right? Houston, man, we can't get enough of the Houston Texans at this point. They're on the road against Anthony Richardson, who quite frankly might as well be a rookie quarterback. That's a 1.5-point line. Favored by Houston, that's it. Seems like it should be higher than that. Vegas and L.A., that's the Raiders and the Chargers. Minshew versus Herbert. Herbert, a minus 3.5-point favorite, comes back to practice this week. Harbaugh's loving life once again, and away we go. Denver and Seattle. Denver breaking in a new starting quarterback on the road against the 12s. It'll be loud. Seattle will be excited. They're favored by 4.5 and 5 points across the board. I got to tell you, I'd probably give a slight lean to Seattle at that point. Rookie quarterback on the road, first career start. I don't know how that's going to work out. That's not to say I don't hate the Denver Broncos or love the Seattle Seahawks. That's just the way I think it is. Washington and Tampa Bay. This is one I want to watch. I'm excited for this one. 4:25, the opening Sunday. 3.5-point favorite here for Tampa Bay going up against Washington and Jaden Daniels. You know I'm low on Tampa Bay. I don't think they were a very good football team last year. Yes, they beat the Eagles, who were just careening off the road at that point. I'm not entrusting them too much this season, but it is a rookie quarterback on the road in his first career start. Same thing, I'm taking a look here, you know, at Bo Nix and what he can do. But I do think that Washington's supporting cast is much, much better than Denver's supporting cast. Something to keep an eye on. 4:25 game, Dallas and Cleveland. How about Cleveland? A 2.5-point favorite here across the board in a total that's listed at 42.5. Dak Prescott, does he get back CeeDee Lamb? Let me tell you something right now. CeeDee doesn't show up week one, guys? Come on now. Come on. They're not winning that game, right? I don't care what you think about Deshaun Watson. They can't win that game without CeeDee Lamb. And when does CeeDee Lamb get in the camp? And how much money is he going to make? That's a key contributor right there. Sunday Night Football opening week, it's the Rams heading to Detroit. Matthew Stafford going back to his old stomping grounds. And how about this? It feels like to me, we're getting a lot of respect early here on those Los Angeles Rams. Now, they are the underdog, don't get me wrong. But it's only 3.5. Doesn't it feel like it should be a little bit higher than that? I understand week number one is sometimes tough to comprehend and who's going to do what. Yeah, I get that. I do. But that line feels a little bit light there. Matthew Stafford, hamstring injury. Hopefully he's going to be okay. We'll get the point. But then we got, guys, Monday Night Football. You know the boys will be in studio. By the way, we'll be in studio opening night. Myself, Joe Lisi, Kevin Walsh, ready to rock and roll at 8 o'clock, man. Ready to go on opening night. So I'm looking forward to that. But also, that Monday Night Football game, 481, 482 on the rotation, 8:15 start. It's the Jets and it's the 49ers. You take a look at the opening line here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. That was listed at 6.5. You take a look at the line across the board right now, 4.5 is the 5. It's a total of 44.5. Aaron Rodgers, Brock Purdy. Ooh, somebody's going to get a leg up in their conference with a victory in that game. Major League Baseball is next. Let's make more money tonight, people. That's what we're about. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brian out in these streets always getting a bad rap. Come on now. Support Brian. Support Brian's across the country here. We've got afternoon baseball. Two games coming up at 1 o'clock today. That's Cleveland and New York and Colorado and Washington. Followed by two games at 2 o'clock, Milwaukee and St. Louis, Detroit and Chicago. Then the final afternoon game will be Tampa Bay and Oakland out on the West Coast. Let's take a look at some of the pitchers over the totality of the past 60 days that you probably should not be fading. 1 through 5 are as follows. Spencer Schwellenbach of Atlanta, Dylan Cease of San Diego, Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh, Christopher Sanchez of the Philadelphia Phillies, and Spencer Arrighetti of the Houston Astros. By the way, Arrighetti's improved a whole heck of a lot since the first couple starts that we saw in this season. Bottom five on the list. We got Miles Michaelis of the Cardinals, Nick Lodolo of the Cincinnati Reds, Griffin Canning of the Los Angeles Angels, Cal Quantrill of the Colorado Rockies, and Osvaldo Bido of the Oakland Athletics. But again, grain of salt today, people. We don't have anybody over the past 60 days with a minimum of 20 innings pitched in Major League Baseball today that has an xFIP of over 5. You have a guy on the upper end limit, that's Bido out of Oakland at a 4.79. other guys in that mid-4 range, Michaelis, Lodolo, Canning, and Quantrill that we just talked about. But we don't have those statistics just based on home and away games combined and have that, oh my goodness, we have to get to that game. So now here's what we're going to do. Let's go game by game and take a look here. Cleveland and New York. Gavin Williams is going to be on the mound here. Obviously on the road in the Bronx, not really a pitcher's ballpark. And Gavin Williams on the road this year, 25 1/3 innings pitched, a 2.49 ERA with an xFIP number of 3.67. That's really good. Now, granted, if you're telling me you're just going to take Soto and Judge and don't worry about it, I understand it. But me, because Gavin Williams has struggled a lot with lefties and righties, but a little bit more towards righties over the past 30 days, maybe you do take more of a look at Judge, or maybe it is Giancarlo Stanton. But the one guy I do know is going to see pitchers today, guys, that's Austin Wells. Now, I don't have, let me just hit the refresh button. So I want to see if we have the official rosters, which we should have at this point in the day, with that being a 1 o'clock game. All right, refresh button in, and it is official. So it's Torres, Soto, Judge, Wells, Stanton, Verdugo, Volpe, Cabrera, and Rice. And you do have some good numbers here. Now, granted, I don't really want to fade Gavin Williams, but if you are looking for afternoon action, I actually would take Austin Wells to get an RBI, figuring Soto and Judge could be so hot that with runners in scoring position and a base open, those guys aren't going to get a pitch to hit. So which means Austin Wells, you got a pitch to him. He's got a 429 weighted on base percentage the last 30 days against right-handed pitching. I think that might make some sense today, no doubt about it. Now, if we are taking a look here, home, who's home? It's Gerrit Cole in that game. Gerrit Cole at home. He's got 31 innings pitched, 4.65 ERA and a 3.33 xFIP. So his xFIP number is better than his ERA, which is usually an indication that he's getting a little bit unlucky. But I don't really want anybody going up against Gerrit Cole. I know Ramirez, Naylor, you know, the usual suspects have good numbers, but I'm going to lay low in that game. But if I were to do anything with those Yankees, it would be Austin Wells as an RBI prop, sort of a contrarian look, if you will. Cal Quantrill, the Colorado Rockies, on the mound today in Washington. On the season, as I told you, look, he's got a 6.85 ERA, but a 4.54 xFIP number. Let's take a look at him just on the road here to see where Cal Quantrill shows up. 65 1/3 innings pitched on the road. Just make sure this is right. Yes. And that is with an ERA of 5.77. So even outside of Colorado, he's getting cracked. An xFIP number of a 4.74. So yesterday, James Wood had a pretty good night at the plate. I don't know if he even recorded an RBI. Just go back and take a look to see if I can find quickly some of those numbers from yesterday. Let's see. Washington. They ended up winning 6-1. And the stats here, Wood went 3-4 yesterday with a run scored and a double, but no RBI. That's tough. So you might want to change the picture today. Cal Quantrill, as I told you, has been a bad pitcher. Bad pitcher at home in Colorado, bad pitcher on the road. ISO power number against over the past 30 days, 295. Terrible. Weighted on base percentage, 446. Bad. So if I'm looking at maybe two batters to take a look at this lineup today, probably Alex Call leading off, 58 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past month, a 212 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 467. But again, James Wood would be on my card today, guys, at 1 o'clock. 238 ISO, 402 weighted on-base percentage. He should be golden today against Quantrill. 77-degree temperatures, winds blowing in 6 miles an hour to left field, but not really making too big of a difference. So, decent look there from that perspective. Patrick Corbin is on the mound today. Let's see what he's been doing at home this year. Where are you at, Corbs? Patrick Corbin, 12th on the card at 18 pitchers, a 5 ERA at home and a 4.47 xFIP. But it is always tough with a little bit of a grain of salt pick when you're taking Colorado batters outside of Colorado. A lot of those numbers will be skewed. So for me, again, you're looking at those Washington batters, maybe Call, definitely on a James Wood, and then a contrarian look in that first game for the New York Yankees, which will be Austin Wells for an RBI. Milwaukee and St. Louis, 2:15 p.m. this afternoon. Freddie Peralta is going to be mounting against Miles Michaelis. I can't stand Miles Michaelis. Just think he's a bad pitcher overall. He's home today, and he has a 6.53 ERA at home, 60 2/3 innings pitched this season, and an xFIP at home of 4.54. There's a lot of guys in the middle of that lineup that should be able to do some damage. Now, typically, left-handed batters are getting the best of Miles Michaelis on this season, him being a right-handed pitcher. The only problem is Bryce Terang doesn't have great numbers. Garrett Mitchell doesn't have great numbers. Sam Frelick doesn't have great numbers, right? So you're looking at all right-handed pitchers, should I say. Now, granted, Michaelis isn't a great pitcher either way to lefties and righties, but the preference would be to attack him from the left side. But Churio's got great numbers. Contreras has great numbers. Adames has great numbers. And so does Hoskins against right-handed pitching over the past month. So that's an interesting one. That might just be one of those team total looks for the Milwaukee Brewers. But if you're looking to take shots and say, Donnie, give me two players that I probably can trust today, I probably would go Churio and Contreras at number 2 and 3 in that batting order. So not a bad look. So you have some decent options for Cleveland, New York, Colorado, Washington, and Milwaukee, Seattle at this point. Detroit and Chicago today. Alex Faedo will be on the mound. Who knows how long he lasts? Sometimes he just opens games, goes an inning or two, and that's it. He's got bad numbers. But the question is going to be who's coming in behind him. Last time it was Kenta Maeda, who's not a great pitcher. But also you're looking at a Cubs team that's basically dead in the water. Justin Steele is the home pitcher today. See, he's 10th on the card, 3.54 ERA. So not really much fading ability in that game. We'll move it over and we'll close it out. Tampa Bay and Oakland and the rest of the Major League Baseball card coming up right after this break. It's Donnie Wrightside on a Thursday morning right here on the Sports Grid Network. And we are breaking down Major League Baseball. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Doubleheader in football tonight. Major League Baseball card today and tonight. Officially a football Friday tomorrow, as we have college football kicking off week zero Saturday at noon over in Dublin, Ireland. Florida State taking on Georgia Tech is about a 10-point favorite in that game. But Tampa Bay and Oakland are going to take place today out on the West Coast, 3:37. First pitch, 12:37 out there on the West Coast. Jeffrey Springs on the mound, maybe an opener. We'll see how long he goes in that game going up against Osvaldo Bido, who actually is one of the worst pitchers on the card today, but actually decent numbers, which always throws you off. So I don't really have a great, and by the way, Tampa Bay's lineup stinks out loud today outside of Lowe and Lau in that lineup that are okay. Not really dipping my toes in the water. Jeffrey Springs, maybe a Brent Rooker look. Daz Cameron, if you will, probably going to lay low in that game. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, I'd like the under in this game between Lodolo and Skeens. Lodolo, not the greatest pitcher, struggling with right-handed batters, but Pittsburgh can't hit lefties. You get the point. Paul Skeens should have a decent day going up against Cincinnati, even though Cincinnati, a much more talented lineup. Skeens should be able to offset that. I don't think they get the 9 runs in that game, so taking the under 8. The Angels and the Toronto Blue Jays. Griffin Canning is on the mound today. And I can't hate anybody that says, you know what? Where's Canning? Because Canning is on the road. What's his road splits here? Griffin Canning, 5.77 ERA on the road and a 4.74 xFIP. So on your card today, no doubt about it, should be your boy Vladdy Jr. You want to take him to get an RBI, two bases, maybe a home run on that platter. Probably should work out here. Ryan Burr set to get the start today. Maybe he's an opener and not a very good one here for Toronto, but we don't know too much about him. Christopher Sanchez going up today against Spencer Schwellenbach. I think this game ends up in an under between Philadelphia and Atlanta also. Updated numbers on this game. Let me just take a quick look here. 8s across the board. I don't think we get to 9 in that game, to be honest. Sanchez, a much better pitcher at home than he is on the road. Something to keep an eye on. But also, can that lineup for the Atlanta Braves make anybody pay for anything since they're so injured at this point? Walking your way around Ozuna probably makes the most sense. Schwellenbach on the mound after a rocky start to his first couple starts. He's been really solid and one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball, particularly on the card today. But that Phillies lineup, yes, it is action-packed. Yes, it has superstars. It has not performed. That's why we're going to the under in that game. Houston and Baltimore. Spencer Arrighetti is going to be on the mound today going up against Corbin Burns. I also look at this game at Camden Yards that starts at 7:08 tonight and saying, is it 8 across the board? I don't think we get 9 runs. So therefore, I'm taking the under in that game. And it is a heavy favorite for the Baltimore Orioles at a -158 price. Final game on the card tonight out on the West Coast. You saw the Mets yesterday walk it off against the Baltimore Orioles, and you saw the San Diego Padres get pounded by the Minnesota Twins. Luis Severino is going to be on the mound. If we take a look at Luis Severino's road starts, where is he at here? 4.85 ERA, which is elevated. xFIP of 4.09, which isn't devastating, but is bad. Last 30 days haven't been as good as his full season numbers. Last 30 days, 117 batters he's faced, a 224 ISO, and a weighted on base percentage of 370. guys in that lineup. Again, maybe it's just Jackson Merrill lefties. Like, if we're just going to say right-handed pitcher, let's go lefties in the lineup, Profar will be a good look there, as well as Jackson Merrill and David Peralta. Those would be my looks. And I also think Cincinnati, the San Diego Padres, handle their business because Dylan Cease is on the mound today, looking to be that stopper after that terrible loss yesterday to the Minnesota Twins. I think he can get the job done. If we're looking at Dylan Cease at home this season, 65 and a third innings pitched, an ERA of 3.17 and a lower xFIP of 3.02. By the way, his FIP number, 2.86. Spectacular. You should get a victory here out of the San Diego Padres late night. So a decent Major League Baseball card today, guys. Not a great overall baseball card. Friday, everybody will be in action. Saturday, everybody will be in action. Same thing with Sunday here. So maybe you're just taking a step back, firing away slightly, as I told you. Maybe an option that Yankees game early. Maybe an option for Washington early. And then rolling it over against Michaelis at 2 o'clock, trying to fade him a bit. So some fun stuff to maybe pick on today, but not the great stuff that we had yesterday when we talked about the Arizona Diamondbacks taking on the Miami Marlins. That was just a gift wrap made in heaven. And I haven't bet a ton of team totals this season, but I did bet that team total yesterday at a -130 price for the Diamondbacks to go over 4.5 runs, worked out in our favor. So two games tonight in NFL action. Again, I don't think I'm gambling on these, but if I'm just giving my okay, I think here's what might happen. I would lay the 6.5 with the Indianapolis Colts and also would lay the slight number here with the Chicago Bears against Kansas City at a -1.5 price. You got a triple header on Friday, full slate on Saturday, even some games on Sunday. Then that sprint to the regular season starts to begin. How about that, people? Sports Grid Network, we got you covered all the way through. Schedules are out for the fall, and let me tell you something. You guys are going to absolutely love the content that we're going to provide. For JP Behind the Wheels of Steel, Donnie Wright's out on a solo mission. The Football Friday tomorrow, and we'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.